Now, if you will turn to 1 Timothy, please, to chapter 6. We are going to begin reading at verse 3 and read through verse 10. Now, we believe the Bible to be the only infallible rule for faith and practice. The only way to know God's will and God's way is to turn to God's Word. Listen, hear what God says to us in this portion of the Bible. Beginning at verse 3. If anyone teaches false doctrines and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, he is conceited and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of corrupt mind who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. And of course, the papers have been full recently about men in the business world and men in television evangelism who have been plunged into ruin and destruction. Because, he says, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. And that is our text for this morning. Our sermon is entitled, When We Trip Over a Root. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. May God bless to us this reading from His holy word. To His name be praise and glory forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us pray. Father, thank You for Your Word. Speak to us now about it. Open our hearts and minds to be receptive to what You would teach us, that we might be wiser. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Today is Commitment Sunday, when we make our pledge of faith as to what we will give to God's work through Central next year, as we begin the last decade of the century, 1990. And like Keith said, it rolls around every year just like a birthday. Now, some of us have already made our pledges, and they're on the communion table already this morning, and they will be a part of our prayer of dedication later on in the service. Let me ask you a question this morning. Is your stewardship what it ought to be? Is your stewardship what it ought to be? And that raises at least two issues. One issue is whether or not our commitment meets the biblical requirement of the tithe. But the second issue is, does our stewardship fairly represent our gratitude to God? You see, the fact is, the tithe is inadequate for many of us. Some of us have reached a stage in life when we have more, when we have ample resources, and a tithe does not fairly represent what we ought to be doing for God, who has done so much for us. The tithe for the Christian is not a goal, but it is a beginning point. For the Christian, the tithe should be the minimum and not the maximum. Not how little do I have to give, but how much may I give. For those of you who are visitors or who are fairly new at Central, let me tell you that many of us here believe the tithe is a biblical mandate and the least that the Christian should be doing for God financially. Central has a large budget. Our budget is well over $2.5 million. Compared to some other congregations our size, that represents a very substantial budget. But to whom should we be compared? Should we be compared to some other people, or should we be compared to the standard that God gives us? You know, if all of us in this congregation tithe, or if we all gave according to God's blessings, we would have incredible resources to do all the things that God wants us to do. Now, in light of that, let me ask you a question. Can God do more and touch more lives through a congregation where there are hardly resources enough to meet the minimum needs? Or can God do much more through a congregation which has adequate financial resources to do all the ministries that God puts before them? Which one can God work best through? And then this question, which church had you rather be a part of? You know, it's interesting that each year our budget keeps on going up. One of the reasons is that inflation keeps eating into the resources we do have and decreases what a dollar will do for God. I know people who've given the same amount year after year after year. It doesn't approach a tithe, but they keep giving that same amount. But in the meantime, inflation has been eroding that amount, and they are substantially reducing their giving year by year. I know when I was a child, if I got 25 cents a week for my allowance, that was a lot of money. I could go to the movie, have a bag of popcorn and a Coke for a quarter. Now, you can't even get a bag of popcorn for a dollar today. So our resources keep being eroded by inflation. But another reason our budget keeps going up is because God keeps calling this congregation to do more and more ministries, to do more, to teach more, to share more, to go more. As you look at our bulletin, we've had to go to a 6-page bulletin. Then we had to go to an extra sheet insert because God keeps calling us to more and more ministries. I remember reading once about an elder who went to his pastor and he complained. He said, "You know, Pastor, all you do is you talk about give, give, give. And you know what's going to happen?" And the pastor said, "No, what's going to happen?" He said, "You're going to give this church to death. And then what are you going to do?" And the pastor said, "If this church gives itself to death, I'm going to climb up on the roof. I'm going to lift my arms to God. And I'm going to say, 'Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord.'" Well, I don't think anybody in this congregation is going to give himself to death. Do you? Somebody said to me not long ago, "Andy, you keep preaching the tithe, but I want to ask you, do you think I'll go to hell if I don't tithe?" Now, how would you answer a question like that? I said to him, "Well, let me ask you two questions. First of all, do you really want to go to heaven?" He said, "Oh, you bet." And I said, "Well, secondly, if you want to go to heaven, my second question is, do you think not tithing will help you get there?" There are a lot of reasons I believe in the tithe. But I would like to share just three reasons with you this morning. The first reason I believe in the tithe is because God commands it. The Bible makes it abundantly clear that the tithe is the minimum standard that it teaches. Sometimes someone will say to me, "Well, Pastor, I'll admit that the tithe is taught in the Old Testament, but you know, we don't live under the Old Testament law anymore. We live under the grace of the New Testament." And do you know what? That's true. We live under grace. We're not bound by the law of the Old Testament. And because that's true, it's a little bit frightening. It's frightening because in the New Testament, grace never, ever falls short of the law. Rather, grace always impels us to do more than the law. Did you realize that? There is not a single instance in the New Testament where the teachings of Jesus or the sayings of Jesus fall below what is required by the law of the Old Testament. Now, you think about that for a moment. Did Jesus ever teach us to do less than anything in the Old Testament? And of course He didn't. Do you remember how He put it? He said, I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have come not to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. So the first reason I believe in the tithe is because the Bible teaches it. The second reason I believe in the tithe is because the most important person in my life is Jesus Christ. I love Jesus as my personal Savior. I have committed my life to Him. Let me ask you a question. Is there anything or anybody you love more than Jesus, your Savior? Is there anything more important to you than the one who saves your immortal soul and opens the doors of heaven to you? Let me illustrate. Suppose I know that the Bible teaches the tithe, but I don't want to do that. Maybe I don't want to give that much money to the church. Or maybe I feel I just can't get by if I do give a tithe. What am I putting first in my life? Money or Jesus? Who or what am I trusting more? If you're afraid to tithe because you might not have enough, that means either you don't believe the Bible or you don't trust the Lord. If you are not tithing because you need that money for something else, then you're putting something else ahead of Jesus. Jesus once said that where a man's treasure is, there will his heart be also. And I will tell you without qualification that if you are not a tither, Jesus is not first in your life. How can I say that? Well, actually, I didn't say it. I'm just repeating what Jesus said. He said, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me." The third reason I believe in the tithe and practice it in my own life is because it activates a God promise. A God promise in my life. Now that may be a very selfish reason to tithe, but tithing brings into operation a promise of God that I can't afford to live without. Do you know what that promise is? It's found in Malachi 3:10, and this is what the promise says. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Now, I want to insert a thought here. I believe in what's called storehouse stewardship. I believe that the Bible teaches that our tithe belongs to the church, the storehouse. Now, Sydney and I give to many things outside of Central. We support a little boy down in El Salvador. We support Lay Renewal Ministries. There are many things that we give to. But our tithe and beyond belongs to the storehouse, the Central. So the Bible says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and here comes the promise, and see if I will not open the floodgates, I love that word, I will open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. Isn't that an incredible promise? Now let me tell you something about that passage. That, as far as I know, is absolutely unique. Perhaps you caught it. You see, in this passage, God says, test me. Test me. And as far as I know, that's the only time God ever says that or even permits it. Over in Deuteronomy, the Bible says, do not test the Lord your God. Over in Isaiah, King Ahaz understands this principle, and he says, I will not put the Lord to the test. Jesus himself rebuked the Pharisees and Sadducees for trying to get him to do a miracle to prove, to test who he was. And Paul writes to the Corinthians and said, we should not test the Lord. So testing God is out of the ordinary. But in Malachi, God himself asks us, put me to the test. And he says that if we bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, he will open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that we won't have room enough for it. Now, I don't know about you, but I need that blessing. I don't think I could survive without it. As many of you know, in the past 3 years, I have gone through some dreadful medical problems. I will tell you quite frankly, I don't believe I could have endured all that I have been through without the blessing of my God. At the same time, not only have I experienced the blessings of God in the midst of trouble, but at the same time, I have no way of knowing what things God has protected me from and shielded me from. You see, when I tithe, God makes this unequivocal, incredible promise. I will open the floodgates of heaven, and you'll have so many blessings, you won't have room for it. Do you know what God has protected you from because of your faithfulness? Of course, you don't know. Sometimes people say to me, I plan to tithe, but right now I just can't afford it. And do you know what I always say to people who say that? I say, listen, if your financial condition is so precarious, so insecure, that you can't afford to tithe, the fact is you can't afford not to tithe. You're going to need God's blessings. Does that make sense to you? Sometimes people get the idea that if they tithe, God's going to restore the money, and they will have even more financially. And you know what? Sometimes that does happen. I have known people who begin to tithe, and God bless them financially. But as a matter of fact, to preach that would, in my opinion, be heresy. Now, financial blessings may occur, but the greatest blessings in my life have not been financial. They have been the awareness of the presence of God in time of trouble. They have been the blessing of God shielding and keeping my children. How many times have they been spared from disaster? I have no idea. None of us will really know what God has protected us from till we get to heaven and we get to see an instant replay. Now, tithing doesn't mean you aren't going to have problems. My own life is an evidence of that. But in the midst of those troubles or problems, you're going to discover the incredible blessings of God. You see, you will have the God promise working in your life. Now, really, there's a fourth reason I want to share with you why I believe in the tithe. Because this is, Keith said to you earlier, and Keith, by the way, is the president of Cass Bank, and he's going to be the director of our stewardship campaign next year. And Keith said something that I agree with. He said that tithing is the one area in my life where I can be absolutely obedient to God. Now, God tells me to love my neighbor, and I can't always do that. It's very difficult. Always love my neighbor imperfectly. God tells me to turn the other cheek, and I find that almost impossible to do. There are so many interpersonal relationships where my obedience breaks down. But there is one place I can be totally obedient to God, and that's in the tithe. Well, those are just some of the reasons I believe in the tithe. I believe it because God commands it. I believe it because It makes a promise of God begin to operate in my life. I believe it because I can't afford to do without it, those blessings of God. And I believe it because it's the one place in my life where I can be absolutely obedient. Now, our text for this morning says that the love of money, money is not the root of evil, love of money is the root of evil. In light of that, let me put a question to us as Christians. Have you settled your finances with God? I'm not asking that question because I want you to pledge to a budget. This is the 20th commitment season that you and I have been through together. And this church has never failed to provide adequate resources for all the things we're doing. So I'm not worried about making a budget. What I am concerned about is the commitment of each of us. My commitment, your commitment to the things of God. And we need to settle our finances with Jesus. You see, if we haven't settled our finances with the Lord, we're going to trip over the root the Bible talks about. And you will trip over a root because the Bible teaches us that the love of money is at the root of a lot of evils. Now, as I said, the Bible doesn't say money is the root of evil. It says the love of money is. If you haven't settled the money issue with God, let me ask you two questions. First, how long have you been a Christian? Secondly, just when do you plan to settle the tithe issue with God? Just when do you plan on being obedient? If you knew you were going to die in 1990, if you knew you were going to die next year, what would you do to clean up your act? What would you want to do to prepare yourself to encounter God in your judgment? Would you want to clean up your relationship to loved ones? Would you want to treat your spouse a little differently, or your children differently, or your parents differently? Well, if there are things you would do differently, if you knew 1990 would be the last year of your life, let me ask you this. Is there any guarantee that you'll be here in 1991? Would you want to get your stewardship right with God if you weren't sure? I think I would. And if you have never made a commitment to Jesus as your personal Savior, if you're not a Christian, if you've never said yes to Jesus Christ, I want to ask you just one question. When do you plan to do that? How about right now? Let's pray. Let's pray.